I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed that the night is almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say, she's still in love, and no one could take her love away. Wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear her say, she's still in love, and no one could take her love away. I wanna be loved, there's nothing
there's nothing better than love. another one of my favorite bumper tunes by Luther Vandross. And I thought it apropos for our program for today. Oops, rewind. Let me back up. I'd be remiss if I didn't at first let you know that, yes, you are at the right place at the right time. My name is Darrell Clark, and welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. Here on Progressive News Weekly, where we bring you news and information that's, well, gathered from around the nation and around the world in some cases. It's news that's intended to enlighten and inspire and encourage, power, and hopefully to instill you to get involved. It's news and information that you can truly act on. It's news that you can use. And so, as I said, our opening bumper tune, There's Nothing Better Than Love, an old Luther Vandross tune, Vandross, depending how you like to pronounce it. I thought, apropos, there's nothing better than love. This is Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. So we have another special, special program today. And I'm truly excited about it, as I usually am, but I'm really excited today because we have a returning guest who is quickly in the annals of Progressive News Weekly arisen in popularity by our listeners, you, perspective. And I'm not going to mention that yet because if you're on the mail list, you know exactly who I'm referring to. So to get on that mail list, you'll want to send me an email to Darryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore, C-L-A-1-8 at MSN.com. You'll be sure to get a newsletter prior to program, sometimes minutes before, hopefully, and I like to say usually at least a day or a few days before the program. And then you can be privy and maybe even prepare your line of questioning or your line of listening for the program in advance. As always, I like to start off with something that's been on my mind in the days or weeks or months or years prior that I like to speak on. It's also a time for you, the listener, to speak on any concerns that you may have as well. The number to participate, and we certainly encourage you to be involved in this dialogue, is 347-838-9142. And once you dial that number, if you're not already there, you'll press 1. And that will bridge you into the program so that you are, so that you're able to, well, ask a question, speak on what may be on your mind, and participate. So, what's going on Mr. Clark's mind today? Well, I'm still back in Baltimore. I'll be very frank about this situation. In many ways, I was very pleased with what took place in Baltimore over the last week, in that we had civil unrest based on occurrences that had taken place. And of course I'm referring to that disgusting display of so-called our protectors, are officers of the law and their treatment of another young black man. It was particularly disgusting, not just the fact that he was murdered, and right now it's being investigated as a homicide, thank God, but the way in which it occurred, you know, is just especially disappointing, and I'm, for whatever reason, being nice about it, because I have a program I have to host. I need to have some sense of control. We're going to delve into this issue in the weeks ahead a bit more deeply, and so I've lined up some prior guests and some who are not so prior to really peel back, as you've heard before, many of you, the onion on this one. So stay tuned for some of our guests. In fact, I'll even inquire some thoughts on this subject matter with our guest today, who is surely a remarkable mind and a critical thinker. So be on the lookout. We're going to have the likes. Of course, I'm going to be reaching out to my mentor and friend, Dick Gregory, and the likes of, as I said, some past guests who are truly critical thinkers. Akhil Kulfani has already informed me that he's going to speak on this issue, and so will Dr. Eddie Taylor, whose latest book, Who Let the Crabs Out? Whoa! And a few others are going to have some discussion on this. One of my friends, Dr. Joy DeGruy, will be joining us. We've had conversation in the last couple of weeks. So look for the weeks ahead for us to really be drilling down into this. But one of the things I said that was pleasing was there was some civil unrest, and to just take that down another level, it was not just civil unrest, but something that I was particularly pleased with, and that was civil unrest by our youth. And our history of change in this country, going back to the Revolutionary War, really stems from our youth being involved, and particularly in the plight that African Americans have gone through. The youth have always been involved. Many people don't realize Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't even 40. So, Malcolm X, we can go back, Medgar Evers, these young men paved the way. And so I'm especially enthused where we are now, because they paved the way for folks like myself and others of my generation and a few generations just behind me. And I think that it's going to come to a head where in this movement, different from the prior movements, which was primarily driven by youth and some of the elder, had a significant amount of apprehension. I mean, I can even look back at some of my relatives at some point and remember conversations, you know, talking about the Malcolm X and, oh, I don't know about this guy. Whereas now, you know, you have this, I believe, pinnacle moment where you have an older generation now teaming with a younger generation to come about and make change. So I am enthused, and I'm also enthused by the young lady that spoke out in Baltimore in particular on Freddie Gray's death. And that was also very, very encouraging. And the last thing I'll speak on this before bringing on our very special guest is I see a number of women who are involved, and I'm enthused with that. The state's attorney, district attorney, Marilyn Mosby, that young lady I see her having a pivotal place, not just in Baltimore, because she stepped out and she told the truth. And it was very interesting because the mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, who some want to point the finger at, but she also is stepping out on how much of an atrocity this is. I believe that we've got to really take a hard, cold look at our so-called police protectors. So many good officers out there, and I know so very many who are, I believe, fine officers, and I say that from a personal perspective, knowing them outside of their legal profession as police officers, who really put their life on the line and who really care about their communities. On the other hand, I've seen enough to know, especially what we saw when you think about South Carolina. What's happening now with the videos? Gil Scott-Heron, you were so on point, another one of my mentors who I had an opportunity to spend some time with when I was back in college, who had a big influence on me in terms of my activism. And I remember he wrote the song and he said, "Daryl, the revolution will not be televised, it will be live." And this is what you're seeing right now with these videos, and that's going to make a significant difference. So to avoid drilling too far into this, I'm going to let it go at that. That's the positive side. The negative side is where the media has gone, you know, talking about burning storefronts, a CVS. Whoa, wow. Yeah, that can be replaced, right? Try bringing Freddie back. In fact, I think our next program will play the old Curtis Mayfield Superfly tune. Freddie's dead. Let's just keep it real here. He's not passed on. Yeah, he's done that too, but he's dead. CVS is burned, and it'll be rebuilt possibly not in that neighborhood, but for that one that's gone, it'll be built somewhere else. So all this is an expression of our youth who are frustrated in many, if not most cases, because of the situation, not just of themselves that they're dealing with, but of their parents and their aunts and uncles and grandparents that they're seeing. So, enough of that soapbox. Let's get to our program today. I mentioned that we have a very special guest, and that was no understatement by any means whatsoever. She's a returning guest, and the last time that she was here, it's been a few months back, we really didn't get into one of the areas that I was looking forward to getting into, which was her latest book, because we went sort of on a segue due to the time frame. I believe it was around Black History Month, and she's such a wealth of information that we segued on that significantly. But today, I really want to get into the book a bit more. And she'll be returning because we're not going to be able to do what we can to enlighten you, the listener, and learn what we can in this little 40 or 35 minutes that we have remaining. And rather than try to squeeze all we can in 45 or 50 minutes, I'd rather take 35 and just take our time and just kind of slow roll this, because it's very important information. So let me introduce you to, as I said, someone that I'm looking really forward to an interview with, had an opportunity to preview the book. It's one of those books you can go back to. It's a quick read, but you can go back to and learn something each time around. So that's why we're going to have a couple of sessions with regard to our guest. And who I'm referring to is Dr. Lynn Lewis. Dr. Lynn Lewis is a sociologist. She's actually a professor, author. She's a relationship expert. And right now, I believe that as a licensed therapist and motivational speaker, researcher, and consultant as well, in terms of her teaching, she is taking a hiatus, if you will, from that, from the college that she was teaching at. But she's done so much to make a difference. She enjoys researching African American history and has created a reenactment of the historic 1964 National Democratic speech given by Fannie Lou Hamer, which, by the way, has gotten rave reviews. She's done so much. She's been on Fox, CNN, BET. The book I'm referring to that we're going to talk significantly about is titled Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Ineligible, Eligible Bachelors. That, too, is being met with very, very positive reviews. And so, without further ado, Dr. Lynn Lewis, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you so much, Daryl. It's wonderful to be with you.
So, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Be remiss. Let me back a little bit before we jump into the book. You heard my monologue, if you will, with regard
yes,
to...
Yes, I did. And thanks for allowing me to share that.
Well, yeah, I know you have thoughts. You're a critical thinker. You're involved in social affairs, civic and community affairs. I'd be remiss if I didn't get your insight, being a critical thinker, on this whole thing.
First of all, when we look at the Freddie Gray case and other cases, the Trayvon Martin, and the list is endless, it's clearly... all of these acts are inhumanity to men. And that's where we have to, these are inhumane acts. People in America do not treat animals on four legs this way. They don't treat animals who crawl, snakes, alligators, the way they treat black men. It's the most appalling thing I've ever seen since slavery. And I want to talk about a concept, negrophobia, because so often we hear the police officers say, well, I shot him because I felt threatened, or I shot him because I feared for my life. Negrophobia is a concept that says that people who have this phobia are afraid of dark-skinned people of African descent. And my position is, if you suffer from negrophobia, you have no business in law enforcement. And
ooh.
I hope that those persons who are suffering from negrophobia will look for another occupation, because any aspect of law enforcement, and I'm talking about from president to senators to all levels of politicians, to governors, to mayors, to prosecutors, to judges, on to police officers, because they are all connected to the criminal justice system that really is renamed, when it comes to black people in general and black men in particular, the criminal injustice system. And I would hope that those who suffer from negrophobia would turn in their badges or not run for re-election.
Whoa. Now, you know, one thing I love about what you said is these people don't belong in office. In fact, they really don't belong anywhere near any type of an influential position, whether it's the street club.
Exactly.
They may be a part of. And so to take that to another level, I'd like to discuss with our listeners identifying these individuals. We're gonna lock on to that Negrophobia, folks. I'm
yes.
asking everyone. There isn't one program that I do on any given week, and as you all know, I do this out of love and passion for all people. And as an African American, proud to say, I'm black and I'm proud, especially for the African Americans, because you see, we're disenfranchised
in
America.
No question about it.
And there is no question about it. It's just the fact of the matter. And anyone that you listen to or hear on C or on TV that wants to dispute that is ignorant, deceitful, deceptive, or just foolish. And that's simply the fact. And the
that's
statistics
true.
Bear it out. The you can go any institution of higher learning or lower learning or any learning, street learning, the statistics all bear it out in terms of wage, in terms of health. We are disenfranchised. So what I've always learned in my life, and this is prior to even practicing holistic wellness, is that when you have a deficit, you can't keep on doing the same thing. You've got to compensate
right.
for that. If you have a cold, you just don't go out and eat well. You've got to eat especially well and get some extra rest. If you've got a pothole in your yard, you don't blacktop it. You got to fill the pothole first. So you have to exceed whatever deficit exists. And what I'm really disappointed in what Dr. Lewis has mentioned is we have these Negrophobic individuals in public office. And Dr. Lewis, I'm going to have to
right.
pull out both guns blaring, no ready, aim, shoot, just pulling from the hip, too
right.
many of our Negrophobic people out here are Negroes. Let me just say that.
Yeah,
I got to put it out.
Unfortunately,
there.
That's the case.
I got to put it
that
out.
That is truly the case.
The
because it's unfortunate that some suffer from that self-hatred. And then that self-hatred is transferred to other African Americans, and it's one of the greatest tragedies among African Americans.
Yes, it
within
is.
Within the group.
Yes, it is. I'm. You know what? When we bring Dr. Eddie Taylor on, I'm going to ask you to join me for that, to co-host with me.
I would love to.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that one. I'm in the process of reading his book, The Day the Crabs Got Out, and talking about some of those issues. But far and broad, you're absolutely right. The vast majority of these Negrophobic are non-African Americans, but we have far too many Negroes, and I just didn't want to leave that aspect of this problem out, because
right.
Many of these cases I'm seeing an African-American in or around the scene, in New York, in South
mm-hmm.
Carolina, who come walking up on the scene, one of us, who's, you know, involved in this case here in Boston, the sister. I'm just so disappointed.
Right.
And I've voted, and I've say this frequently enough for the president that we have in place, Obama. I know you hear me from time to time. You got ears everywhere. You know, like to see you step up a bit more. A bit more. It's your last term.
Yes.
I'm hoping you go out. Go out blazing, dude. Go out blazing. You got all the money
mm-hmm.
you need. I know they threatened you. I know they've threatened you. I know they said you only can do so much. You know that, don't you? Take a leap of faith. Take a leap of faith. There is a God. You were placed there for a reason. Step out and
that's
be
true.
The African that you are, Obama. Really, you were one of the many that initially called our young black men thugs. And I take an issue with that.
That's
the
right.
The real thugs thing are these so-called law enforcement officers. These are the thugs. And
it's interesting how that concept is only used in reference to black men. No other group of men are called thugs but black men. And I resent it.
I do too.
And when I heard that fall off
no
of his
other
lip,
group.
I was, and then he tried to, you know, clean it up, and about a week or several days later, by not using the term as he was, you know, referring to the situation and how we can't have this, blah, blah, blah. But a full apology would have been in order, but he's too afraid. But that, enough of that.
Right.
Let's talk about not hating the player and learning the game. And in your
yes.
book, you know, you make reference to folks, even as you go out, you know, on tours and speak to people and have lectures about this situation, coming to you and saying, oh, Dr. Lewis, you may hate the game. And I was just reading, and I thought that in the beginning of your book, under acknowledgments or introduction, you said you had to really let people know, no, this isn't, I made no mistakes. We need to learn
right.
the game. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. First of all, people must understand that hatred is a waste of energy. And we don't have enough energy to waste. We want to use all of our energy in a productive learning mode. So if you don't like the player, you can not like the player, but don't hate the player. Learn the game. Because if you learn, you will grow, and you will be less inclined to make the same mistake twice. And when you learn, you are also in a position to educate others and lift others up and bring them to a reality that was unknown to them previously. So, yeah, don't hate the player. Learn the game. Because the player, except for the betrayers, can only do what women allow them to do.
That's a great, great segue. You talk about in the book, and I love the way you break it down, into sections. You talk about those who are truth tellers and those who are betrayers.
Exactly.
And go ahead, please.
Oh, the truth tellers, the only point I wanted to make in distinguishing the truth of the two is that truth tellers tell enough truth about themselves where women can make an informed and objective decision as to whether or not she wants to be involved with him. On the contrary, the betrayers set out to betray women. And I want women to understand if they have been betrayed by one of these men, and there are three mentioned in the book, they are the silent deceiver. And he intentionally strategizes and calculates and methodically puts together a plan to present himself as someone he is not, but to present himself as someone that the woman would want, that she may even say, oh, that's my soulmate. But he is nowhere close to that. And then we have the philophobic betrayer. The philophobic is a man who has a fear of falling in love and being in love, but he comes off as if he's the most chivalrous, most genteel, most sophisticated and classy man alive. But he uses all of those gentleman-like characteristics to hide behind and to shield the fact that he is not interested in loving anybody, not interested in commitment or marriage, because somebody, to use his language, burned him a long time ago. So he was hurt, and he hasn't gotten over that hurtful situation, even though he may be in his 50s or 60s, and the hurt situation occurred when he was in his teens or 20s. And the last of the betrayers, which is the worst of all three, is the low down, down, low player. They're the worst because they promote themselves and present themselves as being 100% heterosexual men, when in fact they are bisexual. Some of the men with whom they are sexually involved know that they are bisexual, but none of the women know. And they put these women at risk, not just emotionally, but there are several risks. There are psychological risks. There are health risks. So these women are really put in a terrible situation, and they can suffer even death from dealing with one of these low players, because as you well know, we have an increase in sexually transmitted diseases, we have an increase in herpes, and we have an increase in HIV/AIDS, and there are some syphilis and other diseases out here that penicillin can't help. So those men who are in the low down low category, they are by far the worst of the worst.
You know, I for that reason, and stepping back and looking at the overall structure of how you've presented these eligible bachelors, being these two
right.
broad categories of the truth tellers and the betrayers, and then the truth tellers being broken down, I believe, into five categories, and the betrayers yep. broken down into three. From my perspective.
That's true.
And I know fellas that are listening, you know, I'm not speaking of betrayers. I'm not being a betrayer, because not to tell the truth is to betray myself, and that's the biggest betrayer at all, a betrayal of all.
Exactly.
So I'm going to just tell you here. So I'm not trying to front y'all. So if y'all are one of these categories, don't blame this this particular player, because I'm just a player. And you know,
right.
learn the real game. You know, which
that's
is just
right.
the simple. That's the real game, is the truth. So
right.
just a little side note for all my folks out there. They're like, Daryl's just telling it. I'm just keeping it real, folks. So what I'm getting at is I'd like to start, because we've been trying to get to this for a while in terms of having you get on regularly. We have begun. This is real and it's happening now.
Yes, we have.
So, and, you know, we're not going to let more than three or four weeks, you know, a month or so get by when you're not coming back to follow up, to at least get through this that you've done research on. So I want to start
yes,
with the
I'd
betrayer.
Like that.
I think that the betrayer is, of the two, that which is puts our folks in most jeopardy. And I say folks because, you know, it's like
right.
slavery in a way, if you can comment
mm-hmm.
on this. Just, you know, keep it real as we do, Dr. Lewis. I'm not saying
sure.
I'm right, and I hear where I may be going off track, and you can let me know that. But it just seems like similar to you've heard the sayings of who's really hurt, the slave master or the slave. Actually, both are in the real scope of
that's
things.
True.
Being the slave is the one that, you know, physically, and you see it. But you think about the sickness of a person that could do that. They have an internal pain, that pain that you were talking
that's
about
right.
with the phobic. So
mm-hmm.
for these, this betrayer that I'm referring to, I that's why I said I want to address that one, because that's the one that seems to bring the most pain on, not just from the one being betrayed, but for the betrayer, whether they know it or not. In the long term. So,
well, he really shows his hand. You're right, Daryl. He's a victim of his own victimization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a
mm-hmm.
victim.
Elaborate
yes.
a little
he
bit.
He first victimizes himself.
There you go.
Because he has convinced himself that if he were to present who he really is, nobody would be home. Nobody would want him. And
whoa,
if that's the case, who is he? Who
wow.
is somebody who nobody would want?
mm.
So that okay. really says a lot.
It does. That's
yeah.
exactly what I was saying when I was saying these are hurt people trying to hurt people. In fact, I use a statement, and this is
right.
something I'll share that I use, and as a sociologist, you may have a unique perspective on it. When I'm working, and I've had an opportunity to work with children who were troubled locally. When I,
right.
you know, did my stint with corporate, and I did that because I wanted to, and I was always interested in technology, and I traveled and did all those fun things, and then I decided after I did my stint, my 20-something-year stint, that I wanted to do something more involved to make a difference. So I set out to, and even 5 or 6 years before I took my retirement, I began doing my formal practice for naturopathic health and nutrition and training, and I've always been in sports, so consulting.
Fantastic.
And did my coursework, and so I had an opportunity to work into the school district. I wanted to start with youth and then bridge over into senior populace, and that's where I work with now. But in my stint with the youth for about 4 years or so, I worked in the school district I'm in, and I had opportunities to work with at-risk youth. And those were the troubled ones. Those were the worst of the worst, the ones on their way to juvenile detention and the penal system. And I approached it holistically. And I would, when someone had to come into my office, a child who had just, you know, cursed a teacher out or tried to assault another fellow student, and my job as a disciplinarian but also a counselor was to see if I could make some type of a channel to bridge them into further counseling, more professional counseling. And I would ask, what has you in so much pain that you feel bring pain upon others? That was my question.
Okay.
I would always start with that. And what came from that simple question? Frankly, it wasn't an original. I read that in one of the books I'd read over the years. And it would almost always bring something very interesting out. And just as an example, I remember one young lady who came in angry. She was ready to fight me. I mean, she was just, you know, I'm angry. She had just tried to fight a teacher and the security at my office. And I said, sit down. And she wouldn't sit down. I said, I'm not here to hate you. I'm not your enemy. You know, you can stand if you want to. I just have a question. It's obviously that you're in pain. I'm not even going to go hurt. You're in pain. And I don't know your background. I don't know you from the leaf on the tree outside. But I know you're in pain. With your action demonstrate. I said, you can. I would always start with the same dialogue. You know, they say actions speak louder than words. It is a picture of 1,000 words. I said, you're demonstrating, you know, everything that's happening in your background. I said, you don't have to tell me. I would get that far right where I said just now. Some of them would start crying. But in some cases, tell the story. And one young lady, just I can remember so many stories. One said, you know, you have no idea what I'm going through. I said, no, I don't know specifically, but I know generally you're in pain. And you don't have to share it with me, but understand. I care enough to know that you're in pain, and I'm not approaching you with that mind that you might have expected, which is why you came here angry at me, because you came in expecting me to jump all over you because of your pain, which would be wrong for me.
Right.
And then you could see the wall begin to drop a little bit. And then in this one situation, the young lady says, Mr. Clark, you don't know. I have to literally almost stay up at night just to protect myself from my mother's boyfriend who constantly is trying to assault.
I believe it.
I didn't even sleep at night. I left in the middle of the night. You don't understand. I said, I can't understand. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I understand. It's like me saying I know what pregnancy's like. I'm not going to be a fool.
Right.
I said, I'm not going to do that. But I knew you were in pain. And I know that I can maybe help you with that situation because there are laws. You can believe that. Oh, nobody's going to help. Got the child some help. But just the point I was making with that illustration was what you just said, that these folks obviously have had some pain in their life to want to inflict pain on someone else.
That's right. That's right. They are transferring it, and it's so unfortunate.
I'm just deified in this area here. Talk to us about that.
It's unfortunate. Well, you're right in the right ballpark. They have suffered their own pain. They have gone through their own trials and tribulations, and they've not gotten over it. And it's very important that, that people work through their pain and suffering. You will not live a life without pain and suffering, but you can live a life where you work through the pain and suffering so that you don't transfer it on somebody else, and you can become a healthier person so you're in a position to help others work through their pain and suffering. So what you have happening with these folks, first of all, they haven't worked through their pain, and then they see themselves having the ups on somebody who they can manipulate. That is they are so insecure that they have a strong need to manipulate somebody in order to feel as if they are somebody. And so they want to take advantage of these women. So they choose women who are, by their definition, most vulnerable and who are more inclined to believe what they say. So they choose women who are inexperienced, and even though if they've had some experience, they have not learned from it. And they choose women who have low self-esteem, because women with low self-esteem tend to accept more than women who have a I am, I will, I must, I can type attitude and mentality. So it's unfortunate because they are taking advantage of people who can't help themselves.
You know, in your book under, I believe it was the silent, let me see, I got some tags here. under the silent deceiver player. And folks, I'm recommending that you go out and get this book. I'm not trying to just promote the book.
Yes.
It really is a workbook. You didn't tell me it was a workbook. It's a workbook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I have a 20-question survey for after each chapter for men to complete to see if they fit that kind of player. And I have a 20-question survey for women to complete to see if they are dating one of those players. And in the Mama's Boy chapter, I have a 20-question survey for the mamas to see if they nurtured a mama's boy. And there's also a rating scale and a scoring scale. And what I like about it, people can do this in their own privacy. They don't have to divulge what their results are to anyone. And I've had men to purchase the book for their daughters and their granddaughters, some for their sisters, some for their nieces, because they see the importance of females knowing about these kind of players so that they can make better decisions in their mate selection process.
You know, I want to take it to another level. How about that? How about
that's fine.
These males purchasing it for themselves? Because I believe you have some of these players who don't even know that they fall in these categories.
You know, it's interesting that I did a live radio show here in the city a couple of days ago. And I had two men who are bachelors to purchase the book. And I don't know if either has ever been married, but I know that neither has been married in the last 20 or 25 years. And they are well known in the community. And one said, I really can't afford to purchase the book, but I got to get it so I can see if I'm in it. I say, I know you are. It's just how many times are you in it? Because some men not only fit one category, they have traits of two or three categories because the categories are not mutually exclusive. So you can have some traits of the gas and go player and then also some traits of the gravy train player and some traits of the smorgasbord player. So, and then the other man said, he said, I buy a lot of books, and a lot of times I never touch them. He said, but this one I'm going to read because I think I'm going to learn something about myself. So it is, as you noted, Daryl, quite useful for men
Yes,
to
it is.
Find out more about themselves.
It is very practical. And I'm a married man, and
yes.
I can see the practicality in it, no question about it. It gives you an insight to yourself. I've always liked those surveys, and I took enough in corporate, where you would categorize yourself and find out, you know, what are your angst and what are your keys and
right.
to get a better perspective of who you are. There's so many corporations and companies that do these surveys to tell you, are you more mechanical minded, are you more critical thinker, just based on a set of questions. And those
right.
A lot of them really can give you some insight. You have to be careful because some of them are skewed, but they can
sure.
give you insight. I would encourage anyone, for the cost of this book, this is a cost not even, you can't even go to a movie.
Yeah, that's right, just $15.95.
Yeah, to find out something about yourself so critical. I'm really not just trying to push a book, because what we do
right.
here on Progressive Weekly is we try to not give fish, but teach folks how to fish, how to understand,
exactly.
how to take a tool and use that tool. So, me, I believe this book is as beneficial for men as it is for women. Now, that's just from a man's perspective.
I totally agree. It's about men, but it's written where women can learn, but men will learn, and men can learn more about themselves and
absolutely.
What they perpetrate onto women when they are not sincere.
Absolutely. And I was referring to this one section, The Silent Deceiver Player, and you gave an example about the workshop where you had 23 women and 12 men. And the women,
mm-hmm.
when they were having dialogue, you know, they were open and spoke freely. But when it was time for the men to open up, they had non-responsive type responses. And then
right.
when they were asked about that, they were answering with things like, well, you don't need to know that answer. That has nothing
right.
to do with the relationship. That's not important.
Mm-hmm.
And then one even said, you asked too many questions. I'm tired of you
right.
giving me the degree. You women do ask too many questions. If we told you everything you wanted to know about us, we would give you a roadmap to our hearts. And why should we do that? And that's a quote right out of your book. So I
that's
take it
right.
that came.
You are so right.
Stop.
Mm-hmm. You are so right. And I can see the guy who told me that. I will never forget him because he was so adamant when he said it. And then I followed up with, well, you know, that means that she doesn't know you. You're a stranger to her. And it didn't matter to him that he was a stranger to her because he wasn't looking for anyone to commit to. He wasn't looking for a long-lasting relationship evolving out of that. He was really just looking for someone with whom he could have sex and do whatever else he wanted to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it speaks volumes. Now, in this section of the book, these are men who are consciously deceitful. Am I correct?
They are consciously deceitful, and they are intentional. They are methodical. They are calculating their deceit. They spend time, energy, effort. They go to the drawing board to figure out what are the best approaches to get these women to succumb to their wishes. Yes.
And that's why I love the question and answer section. For example, for the silent deceiver, I'll just give a few questions for our listeners.
Okay.
Are you in an intimate sexual relationship with a silent deceiver? Answer the following questions honestly and find out if you are dating a silent deceiver. And I'm just going to randomly go through a few of the questions because there are, as
that's
you said,
fine.
Are I believe there's 20 questions. Yeah. So here's,
yes.
here's just... Here's a simple question. My man hides his real self from me. Now as a woman, you know the answer to that. Some women,
course.
I believe, may not want to tell the truth. But they know.
Right.
Just like in your workshop when the women were saying, well, he really doesn't tell me everything. Okay, so that's a simple question on a scale of 1 to 5.
That's right.
Just answer it. And keep going with the 20 mm-hmm. questions. And you may find out that you need to step back and take a look at. So when I think about this, you know, staying with the theme of talking about the betrayer first, when I think about this, and I love the way you set it up, because you set these betrayers up with the silent deceiver, the philophobic, and the down low. And I don't know if this was your intention. I think I heard you say it was, but to me, they get worse. The silent deceiver.
They get worse as you go along. You're so right.
The philophobic. Is that the case? And the philophobic is not as bad as the down low. Not that any of them are good.
That's
but
true.
They
That's very true.
Is that the case, Dr. Lewis?
That is the case. You definitely are up on your homework. That is definitely the case.
Yeah, and I see that. So, listeners, I know if you're listening, listeners, and we got great listeners, your ears are perking up on
yes.
this. Go out. Do yourself a favor, especially our mothers out there who have children or who know
yes.
children. Yes, that includes just about everybody, because we all know
That's
some
right.
children somewhere, just a neighbor's child. Before we had children, I don't know how many I virtually adopted, you know, because I just love children. That's a goal we should have, and that's how we used to do it back in the day when we had villages and communities.
Very true.
We have what we call now neighborhoods. So I'm just going to recommend, we have about 4 minutes left. It went fast, didn't it? Because a lot of that was me running my mouth.
Yes, it did.
To a series here. We're going to set our next series up. I have the next couple of weeks, and one of which you're going to co-host with me, because I want to talk a little bit more about Baltimore. But, I like to buy, you know, the first week in June, maybe second week at the most, because I know you're traveling somewhere in there. I like to have you come back and pick up on this. But
I would love to.
Everyone to go out, get the book, so the next time we come back, we can have some intelligent questions. I see we have listeners there. We aren't going to be able to take questions tonight. But the name of the book is Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game, How to Spot Eligible Bachelors. And it's also a fun read. It's not so serious.
Yes.
Sitting there
yes.
frowning. It's kind of a fun read, too, because you learn something
mm-hmm.
about yourself, things where you can smile.
Very
and
true.
Guess you talk a lot about bachelors in this book, but here's something I want to share with all my married folks out there.
Uh-huh.
It's a good read for us, too. It really
yes.
is.
Yes,
I'm not
going to
talk about myself too much right now, but, you know, you can have one or two traits. It doesn't mean that you're one of these players, but you still may help be holding on to a trait, too. Let's keep it real again. Maybe holding on to a trait or two.
Exactly.
Especially Dr. Lewis, I'm telling you, I'm reading in here. I'm like, oh boy, I wonder if I want to let my wife read.
Well, I've had more than one married man say that. I don't know if I want my wife to read this. But they said it with a smile on their face, so it was all good.
I do, but it's going to be fun. We're going to look at it together, in fact, and it'll be a fun read. It's really
yes,
a good book,
be.
And I want to congratulate you on it.
Thank you so much, and I know you and your wife will begin to say, oh, I know somebody like this. What about Sam? What about John? And you'll begin to name folk you know or you have known who fit one or more of those categories.
Absolutely. And it's a good thing, as you said, to just pick up for somebody that you care about. So I just want to thank you. We have about 2 minutes left. Thank you for taking the time out again to join us and just being so loving.
It's my pleasure, Daryl.
Just sharing your thoughts with us, not just about, you know, relationships, but also about what's happening in our society and our community with regard to Baltimore and our young men. We're going to talk more about that because I know that you've done some research in that area as well, Dr. Lewis.
Right, yes.
Oh, yeah, we're going to also talk about that. I see folks are still popping in to tune in. I'm going to encourage everyone to go to the archives because Dr. Lewis really shares things with us on this program. The archives will be up right after the program. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, and you're just going to scroll down till you see Dr. Lynn Lewis on Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly. Click on the arrow and just listen up and get fed. Dr. Lewis, for the fourth time, I really, truly appreciate you coming on. Do you have any last thoughts? It's Mother's Day, Mother's Day weekend. Anything you want to close out on before we...
Yes, I want to say to all men and women, never forget a mother's love and how a mother's love has catapulted us to wherever we are and will continue to keep us on the right track. So embrace your mother, love your mother, and let her know that she is truly a tribute to who you are and for what you stand.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is really beautiful.
Yes.
Well, again, we've been talking with Dr. Lynn Lewis, author, sociologist, therapist, consultant, relationship expert. Tune into the archives to catch the interview if you're tuning in late. And as Dr. Lewis mentioned, basically, if I can rephrase, show a little love. If you love someone, let them know. Let them know. There's no greater thing than that. Life is very short, and so you want to embrace it while you have the opportunity. And what a great weekend to do that. We all, whether we have our own mother still on this plane with us or not, we all have a mother that we can give some love to. So I'm going to encourage that. This weekend, the homework is let's give a little love. Let's do that. Can we? All right. So everyone have a blessed, wonderful weekend. And tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Tune into the archives. We'll be having Dr. Lynn Lewis on in the weeks ahead. Peace and blessings one more time. Catch you next week.